I want to talk about vows, because the Law of Moses and the Old Testament has quite a lot to say about vows, quite a lot of legislation about it, and quite a lot of examples of vows. Now, if you made a vow and then wanted to change it, you could do so. Leviticus 27 is absolutely full of legislation about that. If you vowed, you had to give what you had vowed. Let's say you offered a house to the priests for the Lord's service, and then you wanted it back within the period that you'd vowed it for, you had to pay a fifth part of it, etc. It was expensive and inconvenient to change a vow. And I think the idea of that was to stop people making quick vows. It's why in the Psalms and Ecclesiastes you read that don't vow and not pay, because that is a serious offence to God. Why is it so serious? Because he does not want people to make a show of I am being so dedicated to God and then pull out of it. Clearly, the whole structure of the legislation and the language about don't change your vows, pay of that which you have vowed, is in order to make people realize that if we promise something to God, then we really must treat it as if it is given and give up all idea of getting it back. Now, that is a fundamental part of giving, that I am now minus. I give you whatever, £100, €100, $100. I am now minus that. And I should not be seeking somehow to get it back in some form. That is gone. That is out of my account, out of my holding, and it is not in my hand anymore. That's very important, because if you don't have that attitude, then you can never be a cheerful giver. And with all this question of giving, unless you're a cheerful giver, it is of no meaning at all. And they're told that they must not analyze whether it be good or bad, or change it. If you give some animal or whatever to the Lord, that's it. Don't try and be carefully calculating. Give as a result of that upwelling of generosity within you. So I think that the impression we're getting then is that, yes, it is natural within the spiritual person to want to make some emotional response to God. And we should do so, but once we've made that decision, that's it. Don't try to work it back. This raises, of course, the difficult question of Jephthah and his daughter. He vows to give her to the Lord, and he does so. But, of course, the record there in Judges 11 is left intentionally unclear as to whether he sacrificed her, whether he devoted her to temple service and she had to remain a virgin. That is all intentionally left unclear, I think, to help us to engage with the text and to imagine what might have been, and to compare it with the whole legislation in Leviticus 27 that says you can take back your vow. You have to pay something, but you can. You must pay the value, for example, of the servant or the person that you vowed to give to the Lord if you then change your mind or want him or her back. And you think, well, why didn't Jephthah do that? Was he unaware of it? And you just wonder, well, did he have some other agenda? Did he actually want to get rid of his daughter for some reason? Or, you know, it's intentionally ambiguous and impossible to come to a solid conclusion, because God wants us to engage with the text and to put it all together as far as we can. Now, there's other teaching about vows which needs to be given its full weight. In Deuteronomy 23, you must not bring the hire of a prostitute into the house of the Lord for any vow. And you think, wow, could it really be so that somebody prostituted their daughter or themselves, their own body, and then brought the money and gave it to God as a vow? I think you see there how God foresaw in that commandment how corrupt we are, how mixed are our motives. I shall do that which is wrong in order to make this vow to God. Now, the legislation and the law also stresses a couple of times that it is no sin to not vow. It's not a sin to not vow anything to God. It's not a sin. You don't have to. But there is this desire within us, there should be this desire within us, to do something special for God, beyond that which is our, if you like, our legal obligation, as it was under the law of Moses. And we need to ask ourselves, is that how I am? Because if you're just a religious person trooping along the church, you may never actually have engaged with Jesus personally to the point that you really feel that I, before his cross, want to do something special. But the point is, as David showed us, and as he said, I will not sacrifice to the Lord that which costs me nothing. Rather like trying to offer in the times of Malachi a sacrifice to God that was an animal that was lame or whatever. So then, when you make a vow to the Lord, they were told in Deuteronomy 23, you must not be slack to pay it, because that would be a sin upon you. But if you forbear to vow, that will not be a sin at all. So you may think, well, why risk vowing? Well, because if we love God, as we see David did, and so often in the Psalms he says, I will pay that which I have vowed. His concern, I think, is that we should vow to impress men, but then not pay it. And God would judge that very severely, we're told. It will be sin upon you, and God will require it of you. So any giving to impress others is absolutely abomination to God. But all the same, there should be this spontaneous desire to do something for God. And that is the sort of takeaway that I'll leave with you. What have you vowed to him? At what point have you said to him, yeah, okay, you know what, I would like to do this. I want to give this. Your left hand not knowing what your right hand does, not advertising it, nobody knows, and you do it. Not necessarily giving financially. This is a myth that the only giving, the only vowing is of your money. Your heart, your time, what you look at on these screens. These are the things that we can give to God, and we should, in response to the cross of the Lord Jesus, his love to us, be thinking in these ways. What can I do for him? What can I give to him? And to make a specific undertaking to him from love, quietly. And once you've made it, you've made it. And then there is the joy of the cheerful giver.